Anyway, I got a bunch of several cards, and I got cards from all of you and calls, and I really appreciate it, but I got two cards from the ladies that come from the home here, and I was hoping they would be here. But I thought, you know, how really thoughtful, you know, to do that. And I'll cherish them all. I don't get rid of cards. I got a desk drawer full of them, and I probably won't. So I just want to thank you. I don't want to go into a lot of detail on where I've been. Routine things sometimes turn into major things. I had some routine surgery that turned into some unpleasant infection. And although I feel good and I look pretty good, don't anybody walk out here today and says, man, he looks bad, because that's not the kind of confession I need. But I do feel good. It's just tired. It's going to take a while to get my strength back. But again, thanks. You mean a lot. I've been listening to the messages, and I've been missing the jokes. So I come across one for Mother's Day I thought might be appropriate. A teenage son never missed an opportunity to tell his mom and dad how much he needed a car. So one morning on the way to school, he was going to be late, and his mother handed him a pen and a piece of paper and said, write a note and I'll sign it and explain why you're late. So he wrote on the note, he said, Mark is late this morning due to car trouble. The trouble is, Mark doesn't have a car and Mom drives too slow. I'm starting a series next week, and this was one of the messages out of it, was God, are you aware? And then I changed it to God is aware of everything. And I moved it up because I wanted to do the first one, is God's just not fair. And a little intro into that series, that if you know of someone that does not think God is fair, tell them that Gallagher's got this message that God is not fair. And we're going to do it next Sunday. And hopefully it'll have some impact on their lives. But sometimes, as difficult as life is and the challenges that we go through as parents, especially mothers, sometimes it's the phrase and the thought that goes through my mind and goes through our mind is, Jesus, just take the wheel. I can't do it anymore. I've done all I can do, and that's all I can do. But the thing that we need to keep in mind is that God has a plan, and God has a call on everyone's life. It doesn't make any difference, really, who it is. There's no greater call than motherhood, but there's probably no greater challenge for anyone than being a mother. It's probably the most difficult thing that a woman has to go through, is all the sleepless nights, the missed curfews. And my mother had them too, so I know what they are. Missed curfews, calls from the police, this happened, that happened. Sometimes those phrases may seem contradictory when we say that that's the greatest calling, but it's also the greatest challenge. Sometimes our children cause us to turn gray. Think so, Wes? Or maybe our hair to fall out, to fret, to be concerned. Sometimes give up, although giving up's not an option. But there is no greater call than being a parent. Jeremiah said in verses 11 and 12 of chapter 29 that God knew us before our parents ever thought about us. And that's got to be settling and reassuring if you're struggling as a parent, as a grandparent, as a great grandparent, I'm going to give you some suggestions at the end of the service on what will help you. God knew who our friends would be. He knew who we would marry. He knew who would take the place of your mother when your mother's passed away. Cindy took the place of my mother. She was my greatest critic, both good and bad. And I know it was because she wanted the best for me. And I found out what that was like when we lived in, Cindy and I lived in Dublin, Ohio. And I traveled, it seemed like, every week. And we had Matt, and she called me one day and said, "Matt's been in trouble with the police." Now, what'd he do? He was out TPing neighbors' trees, him and a bunch of his friends. How do you get out? Come out the garage window. A couple of his attributes were being sneaky, as well as the gift of gab. He could talk his way into anything and talk his way out of anything. A second time was a little bit more alarming when I got that call from Cindy and said that one of the teachers called from school and Matt went off on one of them. It's the last thing you really want to hear, but apparently it was a music class and he had played a wrong note, and the thought that went through my mind is just redo it. Not a big deal, but a teacher wouldn't let him, so I guess he decided he was going to take it into his own hands, and he did. And I called the teacher and talked to her, and she said something to me that has stuck with me since about 1987 or 88. 87, I guess it was. She said, "Mr. Gallagher, our children's expectations of themselves are not our expectations of our children." And you know, that's pretty tough to take. Because we want nothing but the best for them. The Bible says that God knows every bird in the mountains. The Bible says that he knows every insect that's there. And yes, Brenda, he knows every stink bug that's at your house. God knows they're there. The psalmist says he determines the stars. Matthew says he knows the number of hairs on our head. Mine he's subtracting. But it's easier to keep count. God's all-knowing. He knows everything. However, the goodness of God also allows for what? Free will. That ability to make a choice. The choice to do right. The choice to do wrong. And I thought it was interesting this morning. I said in part of the adult class, and someone mentioned about the concept or the context of the election and how nobody can seem to say anything good about anybody else. That's a choice. It's easy to say something good about someone as it is to say something bad about someone. And if somebody, and I think I've said this before, if you've got something bad to say to me about someone, save it. Because we don't have time for that kind of stuff. God wants us to bless people. So we need that. When we run through these times and we realize that, you know, our children are hurting us and our children or grandchildren are hurting us, we need to stay in faith and realize that God is in control. Jeremiah 29, and Roger shared this with us. In your heart, he says, "I know the plans and the thoughts I have for you," says the Lord. "Plans for peace and well-being, not for disaster." He says, "You have a future and a hope." And that's what we should be prophesying over our children. See, I believe that we all have the gift of prophecy when we speak positive words to people. Because that's what we're doing. We're prophesying over their lives. God knows our sorrows. He knows what hurts us. He knows what concerns us. He knows everything about us. David said in Psalm 56, he said, "You have taken account of my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle that they are, and put my tears in your bottle. Are they not recorded in your book?" God's recorded the tears that we shed over our families. He knows what's going to happen. He knows we're going to endure. He knows what was good, was meant for good. Joseph said in Genesis 50:20, he says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present outcome, that many people would be kept alive as they are in this day." What he was talking about was to his brothers who sold him into slavery and said, "You meant me harm." But the flip side of that is there is absolutely no way that you can bring harm to me when God meant something for good. And that's what it's all about. God's aware of everything, especially you. He searched us. He knows us. He cares about us. He thinks about us. He wants the best for us. There's no way in the world that God wants harm to come to his people. Isaiah said that God knows us. He said he knows, knows your name. He said from the body of the mother, he said he has named us. He knows your name. He knows my name. And that's something that's just sometimes maybe hard to fathom. But yet when we talk to God and we acknowledge how great God is, we realize he does know us. Henry David Thoreau said, "A name pronounced is the recognition of the individual to whom it belongs. He who can pronounce my name aright, he can call me and is entitled to my love and my service." What he's saying is, if you really know me, you call me by my name. If you really know me, God, call me by my name. And I'm sure that when Ray's praying, he's looking down and saying, "Ray, I hear you. I see those tears that have been shed. I see those sleepless nights. I see that concern." And that's what God is all about. Sometimes it's just, "Jesus, take the wheel. I can't handle it." God knows the sadness we carry. He knows the struggles that we have. He knows our disappointments. I talked to someone this morning that was going to bring someone with them. I'm sure they're disappointed that they didn't come, because there is a place that people can get help, and it's in God's house. If you really know me, God, call me by my name. He knows all. He knows our best memories. He knows our best thoughts. He knows our worst thoughts. He knows when we struggle. He knows our body shape. He knows our body size. Whether we like it or not, he knows it. We are ever before a God that loves us and cares for us. His eyes on you. His eyes on me. I heard the story this week, and I thought it was kind of an interesting one. It was a 34-year-old lady that went blind immediately, and they really didn't know what it was and see what it would cause. And she goes through months of rehab, learning to cook, learning how to organize, learning how to navigate bus routes through the city. And her husband takes her to work. And he told her, he said, "I'll take you to work for as long as it takes." But at some point, he was beginning to be late for work, and he told her, he said, "You're going to have to take the bus." He worked, he was a military, a soldier in some branch of the military, and so he had to report uniform every day, and so he couldn't be late. And so he'd taken her on the bus for weeks until she got used to what the pattern was, and so every day she'd get off the bus, and the bus driver would say, "How are you doing?" She said, "I'm doing better than I did yesterday." Kind of my confession. "I'm doing better today than I did yesterday." And finally it got down to where the fifth day on the Friday when she got off the bus. And the bus driver says, "How are you doing?" She said, "I'm doing okay." And he says, "Well, you need to thank that soldier standing by the door, saluting you every day that you go in. He was her husband, watching her, making sure that everything was okay." That's the way God is, watching over us and taking care of us. Nothing's hidden from God. joy comes in the morning. There's some things in your bulletin that I want to talk to you about, mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers. If your children are, I don't want to say giving you fits, because that's not good confession, but if they're not doing what you want them to do, start prophesying positive things over their lives. You will be successful. You can achieve your dreams. Whatever your dreams are, you can achieve them. You will be in health. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You're a child of God. Use words that build them up. Speak words of love to your children. Compliment them on the little things. I heard a guy say one thing time, if you can't find people doing something absolutely right, find them doing something also right and build on it. And sometimes we have to do that. Speak words of victory over your children's lives. Don't confess where they are. Confess where you want them to be. That's a big step. Tools are like words. Words are like tools, either way you want to say it. They can help us reach our goals. You know, negative words can send you on a spiral of depression. I want to do something a little bit different. Before we take the offering, I would like the band to come up, and I would just like, I felt like that we need to do this. And play through Jesus Take the Wheel. And if you're struggling as a parent, as a grandparent, as a great-grandparent, there's something in your life that you're having a difficult time dealing with. Let's pray about it. And let's just turn it over and commit it to God. And let Jesus take the wheel.
Driving last Friday on a race, it's a daddy on the snow white Christmas Eve. Going home to see mama and daddy with the baby in the backseat. 50 miles to go and she was running low, drinking gasoline. It'd been a long, hard week. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going way too fast. And before she knew, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both the lines flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air. Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hands. You're stuck into this dark.
Have anything, any concerns or anything, you feel like you want to talk to me about it, give me a call. I'd love to talk to you about it. You got family that are struggling? I don't have all the answers, but I got a couple. And sometimes people just need to pour their hearts out. Talk to somebody that may not be a family member. So with that, just keep that in mind.